Give the Lord a shout in the house this morning. Give the Lord, not the person around you, not the earth, not even your own ear. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Yeah! I can only imagine the sound as they walked through the Red Sea. God parted the sea, but someone had to do something outside of the sphere of what just seemed normal or common sense or realistic. And listen, the Word makes it very clear that the spirit, the spiritual things, don't make sense. The natural mind, and we have a natural mind. How many know you have a natural mind? This side does not. This side does. How many of you know you have a natural mind? Of course you do. It says the natural mind, which you do have, is not subject to the law of God, because the natural mind was configured in such a format that it identifies with what it says exists, right? And we know that by either sight or sense or sound or smell. I walked in a little market the other day and went, wow, I didn't see everything, but I knew what was cooking because I could smell it. I didn't see it, but I knew they were baking all kinds of baked goods. I just like baked goods. And sometimes you can tell more than other times that I like baked goods. But you can smell it. And our natural mind was created by God that way. So there isn't anything wrong with having a natural mind, but it's not subject to the laws of God. And you can take your seats this morning if you want. So we all have a natural mind. It has the tendency to see, to hear, to smell. And then we make judgment calls based on what we either see or hear or smell. And that's a natural mind. It's also subject to emotions, to feelings, to... Anyone ever got their feelings hurt? Just a couple of you. All right. Only Aiden has had his feelings hurt. What'd you do to him? But we're all sensitive to our feelings, our emotions, with certain expectations that we have. But Ray said it really well in the song. God wants us to look for the invisible. You can't look at it, but you can certainly look for it. And then the Word says something really powerful. It says, if you seek for something, you'll find it. You'll look for something, you'll find it. So the natural mind relies on what we sense, what we see, what we feel. Someone says something, it makes you happy. Someone says something, it makes you sad. Someone says something, it makes you feel encouraged. Someone says something, it makes you feel discouraged. A lot of times people say things they don't even intend to affect you in the way that they do, but they do. And you may come to someone and say, that really encouraged me, what you said. And that person may say, awesome. Sometimes they're brave enough to say, what was it? Because we don't want to acknowledge it. We have no idea what they're talking about, because if it encouraged them, we want to take credit for it. Awesome, I'm glad what I said encouraged you. And then there are times someone will say, you upset me by something you said, which then we don't want to take responsibility for that. And we say at that point, I have no idea what you're talking about, right? So we all know how to work the mind. We know how to connect our speech and our response based on what we feel and what we see and what we hear. But the Word says there's another mind. And it's the mind of the Spirit, and it's invisible. It's an invisible mind. But something that's always captivated me in the Word, and I'm sure it has you as well, is the Word says God made visible things, and He made invisible things. He made them. So as much care, as much thought, as much of the mind of God went into creating things we can see, visible things. There's a lot of visible things you don't see, but they're there. They are made up of matter, and there's a chemistry to them, and they have things you can't see. and they have things you can see. But they're all made up. Someplace, some things are far away and you can't see them. They have to be within the line of sight or within the purview of your sight. You have to be able to see it. They exist, but you don't see all of those things. Some things are invisible, and they're right in front of you. They're all around you. They're a part of you, but you don't see them. And in this place we call the earth or the world, we have a lot of things to see and to deal with, and a lot of unseen things to deal with. And the Word says that we are not to have a or live according to a carnal mind, but we are to overrule the natural mind by the mind of the Spirit. Not fight it, but rule over it. Just like God told Adam in the beginning when He created man. Not just Adam. When God created mankind, when God created humanity, He said, let us make them in our image and in our likeness, so you bear the image and the likeness of God. And He said to them, His word to them, what God said. What did God say to Adam and to Eve? What were His directives? What did He instruct them to do in the earth? He said, I want you to occupy it. I want you to be fertile in it. I want you to produce seed. And the word says God made the earth to be inhabited, which means God thought about what He was going to put in it before He created it. And the Word says He created us. He created you and I. And then His command to Adam and Eve, to humanity, to you and I. And God never changes. Say, God never changes. He doesn't have to, because His ways are perfect. They don't ever have to be adjusted, because God sees it from the beginning to the end. God is so God, so good beyond imagination, that the shell, some verses refer to us as clay or as pots or as vessels or as temples or as buildings or as plants or the planting of the Lord. But it all has to do with the thing God created that can be seen. But God said to Adam, He said, over everything, everything. Now I'm going to say it like this. What God said to you, what God said to you, what God said to humankind, I want you to do this in the earth. I want you to rule over it. It has power, but yours is far greater. It has a strength, but you have far more. It has insight, but you have far deeper insight. It's a very powerful place, but I've made you far more powerful. But if you wrestle with it with the natural mind, you lose your peace. You get tired. We call it being discouraged. You get too tired, you feel discouraged. Have you ever become so tired, you're discouraged? I mean, there's nothing to be discouraged about, but you're just so tired, you just feel discouraged. I feel discouraged. What's wrong? Nothing. Why are you discouraged? I'm tired. My wife's method of healing for all things are drink more water. If you catch a cold, drink more water. You know, if you have a headache, drink more water. If your foot hurts, drink more water. Whatever. We laugh about it all the time in the house because her fix-it-all is drink more water. You need more water. I can't sleep. Drink more water. But then that keeps me up all night. Drink more water. You'll feel better in the morning. Whatever it is, just drink more water. But God said this. He said, here's the answer all. He said, take dominion over the earth. What I want you to do, He said, I want you to take dominion over every living thing. We've been talking about this for a while because it's what God's telling me to reveal. And God said to humanity, God said, say, God said to me. God said to me, take dominion over the earth. Subdue, the word means bring it under your authority. Not your power, that's hard. They had to do that. But He said, bring it under your authority. And how will we do that? Obey my word. What word? That tree, don't eat it. That tree, eat it. Eat of all the trees. Don't touch that tree. And God made it look good. He made it look incredible. God created all the beasts of the field. Today we live in a world with trees of knowledge of good and evil. And we live in a world with trees of life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus is a tree of life. And the tree of knowledge and good and evil is trust and obedience and faith. They both were good, and God said, with these two trees, you can rule the earth. You can rule the nations of the earth because of these two trees. Now, it's all been about a tree. It's always been about a tree. From the Genesis of time, it's about a tree. God created two trees. God told Abraham, cut a tree up, get kindling firewood, and carry it up. This represents the cross. You're prophesying. Jesus took a tree, and he died on the tree, and he rose again by the glory of the Father. The Word tells us in the kingdom of heaven, there's a tree of life. It's all about a tree because it's all about what God said. And what did God say? I want you to rule over all the earth. Say, I am earth. My mind is earth, and it's natural, and it's given to me from God. So I bless it like God did. You have to bless it. You can't curse your earth and then wonder why you don't feel joyful and peaceful and powerful and receptive. God never said to curse the earth. He said, you cursed the earth because you disobeyed me. And he said, now the earth is going to struggle against you. But nonetheless, I'm sending my son, and he's going to rule over the earth. He's going to take the tree, and he's going to lay his life down on that tree. And then he's going to take the ground, and he's going to recover your authority, and he's going to raise up out of the ground, and he's going to be called the last Adam. He's going to be called a quickening spirit, which is exactly what God's purpose was in the beginning of time. We become quickened spirit, the Word says, when we receive who Christ is. Now, the Scripture said that they saw God, Jesus. They knew he was God, but they didn't worship him as God. So you can know God, but not worship him as God. A carnal mind knows God, but a spiritual mind worships God. Carnal mind says, you're God, and you're good, and maybe you're angry at me, or maybe you're happy with me, but the spiritual mind says, you always show me your favor, because you see me through who you are. Here it is. Because you created me in the beginning through who you are. I never have been my own. I've always been created by you, for you, through you, and back to you. And that's where all the essence of who I am is. It's all in you. The natural mind, which is referred to as a stronghold. Natural mind is a stronghold. If you study in the Greek and you really look at what it means and what they were talking about, when it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Just depends on the verse you read. I like to read the Greek. But it's pulling. It says pulling. What we do is it says our weapons are not weapons like the world uses. Contrary. So when we get up and we start fighting the earth and we start fighting spirits, we're doing what the Word says we shouldn't do. It says these are the weapons of the world, and our weapons are not the weapons of carnal warfare. But our weapons are spiritual. They're spiritual powers. They're spiritual weapons. Now, not weapons as you may suppose to go out there and just beat somebody, but it's a different kind of power. It's a different kind of authority. And if we understand this, we do what we're called to do. We take dominion over our minds. The Word says God seeks one thing. What is the one thing God doesn't have unless we give it to him? And that's what the Word says. God seeks, which means he's looking for it. God seeks true worshipers. And they that worship him can't just see him as God. They have to worship him as God. And to worship means he gets all adoration. He gets all glory. He gets all honor and he gets all praise. And this is where we rule over the natural mind with the spiritual mind, and we get strong. We say, and it isn't hard to do that. It isn't hard to worship God. I'm innately created to worship him. He created you and I for his purpose and for his pleasure. We were and we are created. It will never change. But the natural mind is the earth. It's the soil. It's the natural mind. And the Word says you have to rule over the natural mind. Let me read something to you today. I'm prophetically teaching you, and this is as powerful, this is as insightful, this is as much God saying to you as I point my finger at you and tell you something you said or felt or did or something God's going to do or God's showing me in the future, like with Steve. And he stands here and says, and he reads to me a prophetic word that says, with me saying, I hear you reading this in the future. Without him thinking it, he stands here and reads it to me in the future. Okay? What I'm saying to you is every bit as powerful as all of those things. It's the word of the living God. It's the word of testimony. It's the word of spirit. And all of those things, all of those prophecies have their foundation in what I'm sharing with you right now. The word is prophecy. The word of life, the word of religion is not prophecy. The word of religion is what Paul said. He said, throw off the old, cast away everything. In other words, don't come to church to try to feel good about you. Come to church to die to the natural mind and have the spiritual mind awaken so you know who you are. Because when you know who you are, you're going to be overwhelmed with joy and peace because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You just may not know that. And when we're subject to and we live our lives according to the flesh, what does that mean? We just try to do, to get, whether it's convincing someone or something or ourselves or getting or buying or having praise or privilege or whatever it is that makes you feel valuable. That's the natural mind. But the spiritual mind is one that says, I have everything that I could possibly need, and I far exceed what I need by who I am. Let it sink in. You far exceed what we need by who we are. Who we are. Who we are exceeds what we need. So God knew when He created us, your needs will always be met. You'll never have any lack. I've been young, I've been old, the scriptures say. I yet to see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. The righteous. What are the righteous? Those that are Christ-minded. He's everything. He's all things. Religion can be one of the most natural, earthy, vain things in the whole world. Religion can deceive you. Jesus dealt a great deal with religion. He didn't talk a whole lot about the devil. He cast them out of people that were possessed by them. But you wonder how they got there. How does a person get there? How is it we get overwhelmed with sadness and depression and anxiety? It's because the carnal mind, the natural mind, is telling you what you feel like and who you are, but the Word says it's deceptive and it makes you feel dead. But the spiritual mind quickens you to who you really are and makes you feel alive. That's why you can be depressed and you can start just singing. You know, you're not addressing a need you have. You're not addressing something someone did or didn't say. You just start worshiping and then your chemistry falls in place and you say, I feel better. Why? What did you see? I didn't see anything. Well, what did someone say? Well, they didn't say anything. Because the value of who you are exceeds anything that you need, whether apology, a pat on the back, acknowledgement, or whatever it is. The value of who you are is great. That's why Jesus laid down His life for you, because God loved you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. How does that work? Because God's intentions came before your fall. God's thoughts, God's mind, God's provision came before your negative, before your doubt. So we can always return back to Him because He was first. That Alpha and Omega thing doesn't just mean he was there before you were. It means he sealed everything from the beginning to the end. The word says before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the heavens, God established Christ. In other words, I'm going to see everything that I've made through who he is, and all you have to do is one thing, worship me, and me alone, me alone, me alone. You'll never get victory through a fight, whether it's a demon or a person. You don't get victory by overcoming the devil. You get victory by overcoming the world. And the one that does it is this faith. That's what the word says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You might tread on serpents. You can tread on scorpions. Someone's possessed. You can tell the demon to leave. But it's the power of worship that overcomes. It's the power of Jesus Christ in you that reveals the hope of glory. And when the glory of God shows up, the earth surrenders and bows to it, and the fruit of his will comes out of it. What God really wants comes out of it, comes out of you. This is a scripture that's often read and so greatly misinterpreted. Paul's talking and he says, you may think we think something of ourselves and we're thinking like human. He said, we're not contending as men. He says, this is not what we're about. He says, actually, the weapons of our warfare, the weapons with which we fight, they are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. There it is, that stronghold thing. Spiritual demons floating around in the air trying to get at you. The actual Greek, what Paul was saying is he says, your arguments. He said, what you fortify in your mind, the strength of your fortitude, the natural intentions you have to argue with us and try to overcome us with your law and your teaching, which is not of the Spirit. You are carnally wrestling, we are not. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as you suppose. As a matter of fact, they have nothing to do with fighting the way that you fight. That's what it says. To demolishing strongholds, what that? What is that? We demolish arguments and every pretentious thing that sets up itself against the knowledge of God. And we do it by bringing captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what spiritual warfare is. It's not about overcoming the darkness. It's about walking in the light. It's about taking dominion over the mind, the earth, which is easier than you could possibly imagine because God arranged us in the beginning to worship him, to trust him, so our failures could not destroy us because we are not supposed to be reliant on our condition to succeed, but rather his fullness to fulfill in us. He said to Abraham, I love the way he said it to Abraham. He said, nations are going to come out of you. Nations are going to come out of you. And Abraham's old now. God deliberately waits until Abraham is a certain age. Now the word doesn't tell us how many men or women he went to before he arrived at Abraham. Maybe none. Maybe thousands. Because he said, I call to you and call to you and call to you, but you would not come. He said, and if you had come to me, I would have covered you like a hen covers her brood. I would have protected you, but you wouldn't come to me. So I don't know how many men were addressed before Abraham. We see it throughout the scriptures. God would call to one nation and to another nation, to one generation, another generation, until someone stood up, which is good news for you, because we are the Abrahams and the Sarahs of this generation, because we stand up and say, we choose to believe you, and you alone are God Almighty. And in that almighty power and authority and dominion, it's all good and only good. See, when David was talking and said, only good will follow me all the days of my life, he wasn't saying there are men. He knew there were men out there that hated him, that wanted to kill him. He had had wars and rumors of wars. He knew all he knew all the negative that was coming at him and tried to come at him. But what he was thinking when he was praying is he forgot about himself. He wasn't talking from a natural mind. He was talking from the mind of the will of God. And he just would say things like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. Here's a man that didn't know a lot of still waters. He knew a lot of warfare, but he still said, you lead me beside the still waters. Why? He was living in an invisible world while he was walking on a visible one. That's why Jesus said, you're in the world. I know that. We put you here. But you're not of the world. You have a dimension. Set your mind on things above so I can show you the invisible things, which is really what you're all about. You are about pulling out the invisible of God by faith, which can only be revealed to those that fully trust in God without seeing how visible he is, but revealing how visible he is, not to you, but through you. And then the word says, and we will be ready to punish every act of obedience or disobedience. Let me read it all again. We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Now, if you hear me, you'll never read that scripture again and believe it again the way you have, because that's the Word of God, not church, not religion, the Word of God, not my idea. I had the wrong idea too one time, but His idea. And you know how we get the right idea? We worship God. We make Him number one. We tear down every idol. We tear down every excuse. That's called spiritual warfare. When an idea comes into your mind that you know is not God, you disallow it to be the truth to you, whether it looks like what it looks like or not. God's word rules over what it is. David looked at Goliath and said, I know you could rip me to shreds because the evidence is plain and before our eyes. That's why all the army of Israel is trembling right now. It's pretty evident. You guys are big, bad, and a whole lot stronger than we are. Nonetheless, according to the will of God, today, without common sense, you will fall according to the word of this prophecy. Today, Goliath, you will fall, and the birds will eat you, and your army will flee, and the Lord will take his victory. Thus says the word of the Lord. He was a man of prophecy. He was known as a prophet of God. Why? Because all that came out of his mouth was the word of testimony. God is so God. That's who you serve. That's who loves you. That's who's called you. When we fight and we overcome, we have a natural mind that gets tired. We get discouraged. We get depressed. It genders to doubt. And we wonder why God isn't doing what we asked him to. But it's just like they saw God but didn't worship him. He is doing what you asked him to. Because he said he would. He said, if you call on me, he said, I will answer you. You may not see it as you think you should. They were waiting for a Savior. They were waiting for a Redeemer. They were waiting for a King. They were waiting for someone to come in and make this all right. He was standing right there. He was talking to them. He was giving them the Word. He was giving them insight. He was giving them revelation. He was healing the sick, raising the dead, opening the blind eyes, opening deaf ears. Lame people were walking. He was doing it all. They saw him as God, but didn't know how to acknowledge him as the God that he is. We suffer the same thing today in this generation. True believers know when I call on the name of the Lord, he will answer me. I ask him and he answers me. That the Father is glorified. It's more than what I need. It's who he's made me to be. It's more than what you're after. It's who God commanded you to be. He said the Father is going to be glorified through you. When you ask, it's going to happen. Go ahead and give the Lord a shout of praise in the house this morning. God called Abraham. Abraham is called the father of us all. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, whoever, whatever, he's the father of all, because they that are Jews are not one outwardly, the word says, but one inwardly. What does that mean? God's people, all one nation. We're one nation. It doesn't matter what color the skin is. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what kind of conditions you grew up under. All those are nothing more than soil conditions. Soil conditions. That's all. Just soil conditions. And God said, don't let soil command you. You command the soil. You command the earth. You tell the mind the word of God is, and that's what it is, regardless of whether or not you're able to capture the thing with your eyes or not. God's word is yes, and in him, amen. What he said, he meant, because he meant what he said, and what he said will come to pass. God spoke to Abraham and he told him, I'm going to give you a seed. And Abraham said, that's awesome. And he went for a long span of time. And then he's like, God, you said you'd give me a seed and I'm still seedless. God said, nope. What I promised you, I promised you, Abraham. We're plants. We're called the planting of the Lord. And when a plant goes into the earth, it draws strength from the earth. It draws it. It pulls it. It draws strength from the water. You put water in a plant, you don't have to pour water into a plant. It draws it. Cut plants off, and they still draw water. They draw from the earth. That's why we take that rope, we pull on heaven. It's not a matter of effort. It's a matter of faith and confidence. It shows our connection to the kingdom of God. Seek those things that are above, not the things that are on the earth, because I'm giving you power. There's nothing the earth has advantage to give you. Everything that comes from the earth is by the strength of the Father. That's why God said to Cain, he said, the earth will no longer yield its strength to you. Because you've killed in the earth. You've allowed your desire, your will to rule you. So now the earth is going to rule over you because that's all you've become in your mind, your earth. But God said, I'm going to redeem you from the natural mind so you reign and rule by the spiritual mind. And then the word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider himself in that kind of equality, but he surrendered himself. Why? Because God made him earth. And he surrendered the earth to the will of the Father, and God highly exalted him and gave him dominion. That's you. Jesus wasn't being Jesus for Jesus. Jesus was being Jesus for you. The word says he left the right hand of the Father of glory and came to redeem your mind. On the cross, what he did, when we look at the cross, do you know how he disarmed every principality, power, and stronghold? You know how he did it? By freeing your mind. Devil already finished. Freed your mind so you couldn't be convinced by the devil's condemnation that you were in equality with him, but you were free from sin. That's what destroyed. Literally, the thoughts and ideas on the cross of your sin were removed when you looked at him and say, he has made me free, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. My mind's free. The principalities, the rulers in my mind, the thoughts, the aggressors, the flesh that kills, is overcome by the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in this jar of clay, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then God says, you have this treasure. What is the treasure? The kingdom of God in earthen vessels. How amazing is God. He took us right back to the beginning. Here are these earthen vessels of clay, and I'm going to be glorified in them because they can only sense what they can see, but I want to reveal the invisible attributes of who I am. Invisible to heaven and invisible to earth. Attributes like what? Raising the dead, forgiving sins, saving the soul, setting the mind free. Heaven's never seen this either. The grace of God. They'd never seen that either. 3 of the angels fell. They were not redeemed. No grace, no salvation, no forgiveness, no redemption. But when you came, when God made you, the word says heaven marveled and said, what is this you've made? You've crowned it with glory. You've honored it. They're lower than us, but yet they have this crown of faith and honor and glory. They have a prophetic word of a future. We desire to look into what you revealed through this creation which you have made. All of heaven bows its knee to you, Father, and the creation that you have made to be glorified in. The thing that you said, herein is the Father glorified. The Father is pleased through these vessels. When we talk down ourselves, when we talk about how imperfect we are, how imperfect the world is, how imperfect government is, you shouldn't be ruled by government. Government was not even created to rule over you. Remember, we the people. We're ruled by the Spirit of the living God. Everyone put in position, every king, every ruler, every governor should be ruled by the will of the Father. And guess what? God says they will be. The word says, I turn the heart of a king whithersoever I will. He did it throughout the generations. But we as believers, we get angry. We get frustrated. We begin to speak out of a natural mind. We begin to fight a warfare that is not spiritual. It is carnal. We condemn demons and people and governments and power. Listen, we all know what they are. We're not denouncing or denying that. But what we're acknowledging is who we are. We are the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are called kings and priests unto our God. We should act like that. And then God says to Abraham this. He said, I will cause kings to come out of you. And Abraham's like, can't do it. Wife can't do it. Don't understand. But I believe you anyway. You're God. And Sarah laughs because it's humorous to her. I'm 100, almost 100 years old. Bear children, a child, a son given by God? And the angel said, why did you laugh? I'm not laughing. God says, I'm going to do it. And it doesn't matter that it seems impossible to you. Will you believe me for the impossible? That's what I'm asking you. Now, what is impossible? Impossible is not impossible, as ye suppose. Impossible is unreasonable. It means you can't reason it out. Impossible, there is no impossible. And the word says that. It says nothing shall be impossible to those who believe. But impossible is not really impossible. There is no such thing. There's only unreasonable. There can't be an impossible, or there would be no God. He did the seemingly impossible, which impossible again is not impossible. There is no such thing. There's only unreasonable. So what God did is he said, I'm going to take nothing from nowhere and make something somewhere. And the word says without anything, without that which existed, God created all things by the word of his mouth. What does that mean? It's all of him. He's so everything. I don't mean he can get you everything. I mean, he's everything. That's why he's gone. He's everything. So impossible isn't even factual in a truth-based reality, if truth is fact and fact is truth. But what facts are can't be based on what we see. Truth cannot be based on what we see because we have a limited scope of awareness. But the scope of the Spirit, and the Word says, I love this, it says the Lord is that Spirit, is endless. So then what God did with Abraham, he's saying to us today, and this is what he said. He said, Abraham, you having trouble believing it because you think that it has to come to you based on what you know you have and what is reasonable. But I've created you for the unreasonable. And then we find in the scriptures where it says, and nothing shall be impossible to those that believe, which means at the point of revelation, nothing becomes unreasonable. Nothing becomes unreasonable. Why? I have the mind of Christ. And what that actually means is I am Christ-minded. He can do all things. He can do all things. So what's happening right now is you're hearing prophetic word. You're being identified by the word of the Spirit, and things change in you at that point in time. You got saved because something like this happened. God touched your spirit, and without reason, without explanation, it happened. The invisible became the visible reality of your mind. Your mind became aware there is a Christ, and I'm born of the Spirit, and I believe, and my sins are forgiven. No proof that you could put your finger on, but an identity that reconciled your mind and freed you from your sin. You changed. Things started happening. How do we still get there? Because we address things based on facts and figures instead of all things are of Him, through Him, and to Him. Father, not my will, Your will. Your will be done. Your will be done. God, according to Your will. Now, it's going to be done, but I want it done the way You will it to be done. And when that happens, your mind is free. Whatever is attacking you, which is the earth trying to have its way over you. God made it that way. Why? So when you walked over it, you knew dominion. You were walking in the power of the Spirit and not of the natural mind. But the natural mind is subject to faith. It has to surrender to faith and believe God, so God is manifesting the invisible in the only way that He can, through faith. The way He's chosen. I choose to reveal myself through my Son. God is revealing Himself through you today. And what God said to Abraham is, Abraham, I'm not doing this to you by the power that you have. I'm changing your mind right now. I'm giving you a mind of the Spirit so you can conceive this seed. Your wife can conceive the seed, and you can bear the fruit of my word. I'm not bringing it to you. I'm bringing it through you. And that's the key. That's the key. That's the key. All the earth was subject to Adam as long as it was coming through him. When he tried to get it outside, God, I don't see this, I don't see that. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? This is all driving me crazy. You're allowing the exterior to dictate to the interior. And you lose your peace. But the prophetic spirit of God sees the things of God. The prophetic anointing of God sees it the way God sees it, because you're created to see it the way He sees it. That's why He made you to live by faith, so you can see right out of the eyes of the Spirit. For the Spirit searches deep things, too deep for the natural mind to understand, too deep for the natural tongue to convey. So what He does is He seeks the deep things of God. And remember, you have this treasure in earthen vessels, and He reveals them not to us, He reveals them through us. So we come to a point in time where we feel there's a challenge, and God says, I want peace to come out of you. Without explanation, I want peace to flow out of you so power comes into you. So you know in whom you have believed. It's not I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. I'm living just like Christ lives. That mind of being attacked goes away. You see the favor of God surround you. You see the blessed hand of the Lord. You see His feathers, as it were, surround you like a hen would his brood. You see the covering of the Lord. You see the favor of God overwhelming you. You see the peace of the Lord come into you. Joy comes out of you. Now you're living the truth. You're living by faith. You're living by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Your natural mind is a tormentor. But the spiritual mind rules over that mind and then brings peace. And then God takes the vessel that you are and He does wonders through you. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So God did as He said to Abraham. He put His word in him, which was a seed. And Sarah bore a son, and his name was called Isaac, and he was a prophetic word. And the word says, this seed was not many as you suppose, although many nations came out of him. But this seed was one. What does that mean? One with the Father. And that oneness with the Father is Christ. And that oneness took all nations and all people, you and I included, and made us the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? In short, all things are possible and nothing is impossible to us that believe. Because we're ruling over the natural mind by the faith of the Son of God. I'm not wrestling. I'm not contending. I'm not trying to get a position. Doesn't mean you lay back and become lethargic. You get up. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. But what did God put in your hand to do? I don't have a heart to criticize. I don't have a mind to be angry at or fight against a system. I don't live in a system. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the kingdom of God. Pray the kingdom of God, Jesus said. When you pray, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. What does that mean? Is that like a prayer? I mean, it is a prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Listen to what you're saying. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In earth, as it is in heaven. Right here. Let your kingdom be done through us. We don't see it because we're looking for it in the wrong place. It's not coming to us, it's coming out of us. Favor comes out of me. I speak the word of favor. I feel favor towards the people of God. I feel favor towards the earth. I feel the favor of God. I'm speaking to the creation that's groaning in pain. I'm calling and saying, get born. Be born again. Be born of the Spirit of life. Be born of the Spirit of Christ. Let all the complexity of life leave your mind, and the simpleness of peace, let it reign and rule in your heart and in your mind. Let God reign and rule in your thoughts. Let the peace of the Lord, which surpasses all reckoning, overwhelm you and overcome you. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Let the word of prophecy flow out of you. Say what's going to happen. Declare, today something great is going to happen. Today something good is going to take place. And everything in the earth, all in the earth, you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, God will do something really good. Your mind bears the seed. Abraham had to bear the seed of the word of God. And then God says, because you believe me and not the earth, the earth is going to bear the seed of my word. We are that generation. We are that people. Or I would not be standing up here doing what I'm doing. I have one message, and that message is the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, all nations, and turn to the Lord, for the kingdom of our God and of His Christ is at hand. He reigns and rules in the nations of men. This is a season of exceptionalness. It's an exceptional season. Unlike any other, and I see it so clearly. There's never been a time like this. Time is not a second, a minute, or an hour, or a day, or a week, or a month, or a year. Time is an event. The moment that we stand up, as Abraham did, as Jacob did, and we grab a hold of heaven and say, it's right here. I see you as God. I worship you as God. God in me, God of me, God through me. You are the one and only God. Jesus, you are the spirit of my mind that makes me free to worship you. You reign in me, literally reign, and you rule in me. You make this earth bear witness and testify that you are God with me. You bring me such peace. More than bringing it to me, you bring it out of me. And that's what God's saying. I'm bringing it out of you. It's coming out of you. I mean, out of you, out of you. I'm looking for, no, it's coming out of you. I want the blessing of the Lord. Then be a blessing of the Lord. I want the peace of God. Then be the peace of God. I want the favor of the Lord. Then be the favor of God. When we blessed, we end up being blessed. When we're kind and friendly, we find a lot of kind and friendly people. When we give, resources just start growing out of us. They just favor. It's just, that's why the word says, given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down. It's the law of the Spirit. It has to come out of us before it comes to us. And when we start living that life, and it's not an experiment, but it's life to us, then we live in that life. And that's what it's all about. Trusting God, believing Christ, and prophecy flowing out of you like a river. You're all going to see an exceptional day. Walk in the greatness of that day. Walk in the fruit of that day. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to multiply. See God in you in the way He created you to see Him. You have nothing to fear. The natural mind tells you you do. The natural mind will torment you about something you don't even know that you're being tormented about. You can't even put your finger on it. That's your body saying, I need some dominion here. I need you to take charge here before I lose control, before I take charge over your future or your present. And that's when we just start meditating upon the things of God. That's where we just say, man, I am fearfully, I am wonderfully made. The Spirit of the living God is on me. I love the word, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has empowered me to set the captives free, those that are bound, those that are in prison, to declare freedom to them, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Joy, peace, power. The unusual is coming out of this generation. This time has been tilled. It's been fertilized. The environment has been set to produce the most incredible yield the earth has ever known since the day of Jesus Himself. as he said. All these things you've seen me do, you'll do. But the seed I'm planting in you, you'll see even greater things than this. This is the greatest season of all time. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And we are here to prove the good, perfect will of the Father, as the Bible tells us. The word and the will of God coming out of you. You are so incredibly designed to worship God perfectly and to see the invisible promises manifest out of you, and God be glorified in you. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we thank you today for your word, and we pull on heaven right now. Pull on heaven with me. We pull on heaven. What do you mean? No, you're connected. It's coming out of you. Your kingdom come, your will be done in me as it is in heaven. In this vessel of earth, I'm taking dominion over my mind by knowing that your perfect will be done in my life, and nothing can hinder it for a moment's time. I rule over my mind by acknowledging you are God and giving you all praise and glory and saying, I don't need anything but your perfect will to be manifest in my life, and that's my everything. Your perfect will in my life is my everything. Your perfect will in my life is my everything. God, your perfect will in my life is my everything. It's happening today. I could prophesy to every one of you and tell you of increase and of blessing and of favor and of revelation and of treasures coming out of you. So I will tell you. All you have to do is bear the seed that it comes out of you and not to you. I want joy. Let joy come out of you. I want peace. Let peace come out of you. But I don't. Yeah, you have it. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Who has called you to glory, authority, virtue, power. Father, I release that word over this congregation and everyone that's viewing today, or if you see this at night, the Spirit of the Lord permeate your heart and your mind. God give you peace. God quicken you by His Spirit. God make you alive in your mind by your word. We pull upon the heavens of God today. Hear, O heavens, for the word says, seek those things that are above. Release from the heavens, from the earth. So we do that right now. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of the Father be manifest in the earth. Let the Spirit of righteousness just fill the earth. Let there be a cry of repentance heard throughout the earth. Let the kingdom of God be manifest in the vessels of clay, wherein are the treasures in these earthen vessels, the treasures of the kingdom of God. It's going to come and come and come. It will keep pouring out of you like a river. As the word says, out of you will flow rivers of life-giving water. It will just continue to come and 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 to come. One testimony will overlap another testimony, and that testimony will overlap another testimony, and there will be testimony upon testimony upon testimony, and you will know the scriptures that say, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, for the favor of the Lord has procured it. The favor of God has established it. We have heard the word. We have believed the word. We have become the word. We are one with the Father. Jesus, as you said, you and I are one. Let them be one in us. Make them one. I in you and you in me as a branch can't bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. No more can we except we abide in you. We abide in you by giving you and you alone glory, giving you and you alone praise, declaring you are Lord over all the nations of the earth, and watching you work your perfect will. And we thank you. We're not ignorant to the pain in the earth, the suffering in the earth. We're not ignorant to all the tragedies and the terror. We're not ignorant to it, but we are the answer for it. As Moses was the answer, as Abraham was the answer, as Mary was the answer, as Jacob was the answer, as Esau was the answer, as Eli was the answer, to whatever plan God had, wherever God wanted to do, bring a wicked nation down or raise up a righteous nation. Elijah was the voice. Elisha was the voice. So we are the voice. We are the planting of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is on you to declare His righteousness, His word, His goodness, His will, His purpose, His promise, and to bring it to pass through you. And Father, for it we give you praise today. In your mighty name, Jesus, we give you praise. And everyone shouted. Did you hear this morning? You received the word of the Lord this morning. Overcome with insight and revelation, you are a different people right now than you were when you walked in here. But not by design, but by revelation. Because when you walked in here, you were the design of the revelation that we have today. We are the will of the Father. Say, I'm the will of God. I'm the will of God. It's not my doing. I didn't call myself. I didn't choose myself. I didn't create me. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. I'm the chosen of the Lord. I'm the will of the Father. I'm going to make a greater impact in the earth than I ever have before. I'll make a greater sound. I'll bear more fruit. I'll be more joyful, more peaceful, more powerful, more effective, more loving, more kind, more blessed than I've ever been. Because I acknowledge I am. Not only all I need, He's all there is. And Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, everyone shouted. Amen.